pass by, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive from the glory of God this morning. We pray specifically right now for this day, September 30th. We believe, God, that prophetically you're speaking into our lives in this moment right now. We pray, God, that the preaching and the teaching of your word would come forth not with the eloquence or speech of man, but with a demonstration of power. Not by the flesh, but by the Spirit, you would loose, that you would heal, that you would create signs and wonders among us in these moments together. We bless you and thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, take your Bible, go to Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. Now, as these words are penned, I want you to know that he's making a reference to time. He's making a reference to a dimension that is temporary, to a people that are eternal. Now grab that. You can't allow that just to slip by and give me a soft amen on that. Solomon here is delivering a message to a temporary realm, but an eternal people. You understand that? He is speaking words from eternity into time. Let's read. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now what he does here, and then he goes on to list the different times that we'll experience under heaven. He goes on, he says there's a time for war, a time for love, a time for peace, and he just lists them. He just rambles on all of these times that you and I will experience as we live between the parentheses of life and death. It really means this. To everything, there is a season, which means there is an appointed time. There is an appointed time to everything. Everything that we experience has an appointment, an appointed time, and then a time for every purpose under heaven. A time, and that word purpose there means delight or pleasure. Now that changes it a little bit, doesn't it? There is a time for every delight and pleasure of God under heaven. So this life isn't drudgery. This life that we live is not misery. Every appointment that we take, every block on the calendar that we fill up our days of time with, the Bible says here, there is a delightful and a pleasurable assignment from God in every moment unwrapped. That changes how we look at every day. I want to tell you that heaven has no constraints. Heaven has no constraint. Now, as a child of God, we live within the constraints of time, but the Bible says we are hidden with Christ. Meaning we already exist in eternity, but this flesh tent of ours is forced to dwell within time. Purpose here precedes time. Time exists for no other... See, this is hard. Think. Time exists for no other reason other than to reveal the delight and pleasure of God in your life and mine. Listen, time is nothing more than the storage closet of God. You hear me? Time exists only So God can shelf what he delights and takes pleasure in. It's his way of saying, this is my toy chest of heaven to the earth. This is what I want to give to the earth. I just need some people that know how to dwell in between both. Purpose. God's delight is the sole reason time exists. Time exists to reveal the purpose. So what is time? What is time? What purpose, delight, or pleasure of God is unfolding right now? Think about it. In this moment, at 10:54 in the morning, what in God's name, when you came through the door this morning and you walked into this place, what is it that God has for you? What delight and pleasure is God attempting to give to you this morning, right now? So if time is nothing more than the storage closet of God to the earth, then what is it he's trying to get to us in this moment? Now, I specifically mentioned the date. Let me tell you how amazing this word is. I don't know I've ever preached a more prophetic word. Ever. This is September 30th, 30. The title of my message is Your 30 Moment. Now, the number 30 in God, it's very, very special. It means a perfection of divine order. A perfection of divine order. A stepping into the right moment. A time of release. September 30th. Let's talk about time for just a moment. I want to give you a few quotes on time. Now, this is for all of you Lord of the Rings fans. Frodo and whatnot. I wish it need not have happened in my time, said Frodo. So do I, said Gandalf. And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. And all of us Lord of the Rings fans say, I remember that. Gandalf was bad. Time is the longest distance between two places. Another person says, time is what we want most, but what we use worst. Isn't it true? We compartmentalize time, don't we? We signify to blocks of time as more important than others. We look forward to Friday, but despise Wednesday. Really? And my question there is, knowing what we know now from Ecclesiastes 3:1, if God is trying to release delight and pleasure in the moments that we occupy between life and death, then why do we despise the Wednesdays of life? Why are we despising the in-betweens of life? How come we don't recognize what God is trying to get to us between our birth and our vacation to the immortal? Because for you and I, there's no death. For those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no death. There is simply a transfer of address. There is simply, I'm moving from here and going on to there. When I'm dead, don't you allow anybody to sit up there and eulogize me and tell you that I'm dead. I'm more alive in that moment than I'll ever be. God's just got me down here unwrapping Christ's presence for everybody. He just got me down here delivering the gifts and the pleasure of his heart to an earth that is so desperate for something good, something immortal. That's why he's got you here as well. You may delay, but time will not. Time, somebody says, is an illusion. I have to agree. Time is an illusion. It's not for you and I. It's not real. It's not real. Because you're a child from another dimension, unrestrained by this thing called time. It's an illusion. Somebody else says, yesterday is but today's memory, and tomorrow is today's dream. Whew. That, you know what? That got me right here. Because yesterday is a memory. Tomorrow is God's dream. Whoa. Mm-mm. If you could only think of what God has for you in the time of tomorrow. Dream of it. Dream of it. Stop. Don't allow the enemy to steal the gift of God's imagination to you. Use your imagination to conjure up the images of God's pleasure and delight for your life. Oh. There is more to life than simply increasing its speed. All of you Apple product users, there is more to life than... I got the new iPhone 5. It's lightning fast. It's so lightning fast that it causes me to try to live by the dictates of a man named Steve Jobs, who's dead. It does. It wants me to run faster in my time. God's not trying to get us to run faster. God's trying to get us to breathe deeper. Enjoy the pleasure of the moments of God that He's giving to us. But we, through all of our calendar days, rush through the life. We want to say, God, be glad when this shift is over. Bless God. I just want to go home. And then when we get home, we just look forward to something else that's way off on the distance. Man, I'll be glad when Christmas gets here. And then we say, man, I'll be glad when summer gets here, because this winter stinks. We're running through life as fast as we can. God's saying to us, just take a moment. Take a look at my majesty on display on September 30th as you drive on I-90. I just want you to gaze to the right and left. Pay attention to the road. Don't wreck. But do you see God's paintbrush on display? Is my favorite time of year. My favorite time of year. God's like, yeah, watch this. Go ahead, try to do that. Try it. And you know what? I'll do it again in the spring. I'm going to make some more magic for you. Right? To that I say this. To the God killers and the atheists and the existentialists, I would challenge them to fabricate, invent, or create more time. Hey, look, you so smart. NASA, all of you as scientists, all you philosophers, all you Nietzsches, do me a favor. Do me one favor. Invent, fabricate, or create more time. Come on, make just one. Just make 61 seconds. Come on, just make 61 minutes. Give me 366 days on the calendar. Come on, you got all the answers to life? You know exactly who holds the stars up in there? You know the one? You the one who created the sky and hung it up there and told the ocean, stop there? Hey, do me a favor, you smart guy. You one who knows all the answers. Give me some more time. Give me just 1 second more. Just 1 second more. When I'm laying on my deathbed, I just want you to come in there and give me one more second of life. Create just one. But you can't. You can't. You can't, can you? They can't. They can identify this force that exists somewhere. They can't create the force that exists somewhere that causes life to boom, it happened. They can't. Just can't. That was my moment for them. So today we're in the 30th day. Keep your mind on the fact that this is the perfection of divine order. This is a stepping into the right moment. And this is a time of release today. Time is a creature word, isn't it? It is a creature word that we use to define what we do. It's a calibration that we use to signify all the things we do. Remember that time when we went fishing, John? Remember that time, Ron, that trip to hell? Remember that time, Geraldine, where I came over and you gave me soup? It was awesome. You see what I'm saying? We use this word to define stuff we do. But we don't consider this word for what it really is. Time. I'm going to tell you what time does to the child of God. Have you ever been driving along? That's not big enough. You ever been driving along? I tell you, I was driving along down the road from my house not long ago, and I pray to Jesus, pray with me, touch and agree, that there's no batteries in this thing. Because it's made to electrocute a dog when it barks, and you know I got a big bark. I mean, I could really thunder away, and if I fall down and start twitching, somebody come kick me. Okay, Phil, come up here and kick me or something. Take one for the team. So I was driving. Oh, Jesus. I'll be on YouTube. What's this pastor, this idiot pastor, who puts on a dog collar and gets electrocuted? I ain't got no brains. So look, I was driving down the road, just down the road from my house, and I looked up, and I seen this little dog, and he was wiry and excited. And as each car would drive by, he would take off, run to the, he was going to go get that car. He was just getting it. You know, when the legs do this, you know, he was in full run. He was gone. He was like. And all of the sudden, this dog hit an invisible realm. He hit a dimension. He didn't pay no attention. See, he should have looked at them flags. See, anytime, listen, G.K. Chesterton said it like this. Anytime you come upon a fence, contemplate why it was put there. Think about it. Before you remove a fence, that's prophetic for us. Before we remove fences, landmarks in our lives, consider why those fences were put in an age and a time where we are tearing down moral fences more than any other. Consider why the fences are put down. That has nothing to do with this message. That's just something extra. Back to the message. It's a commercial break. So he's running. He's gone. And like I said, he just should have took a minute to just think, what's all these flags about? What's the significance of these flags? He didn't. He just took off. And I'm telling you, that dog, he hit about right here. Wham! Man, he hit the ground. He laid down. Oh, started kicking his feet. Oh, you know. And something instinctual, something on the inside of him said, you better get back to the porch. And that dog, as fast as, I mean, I'm driving. Watch this. Woo! I mean, he was back on the porch. Right? And then, you know, I'm looking in my rear view. Now I'm slowing down. Like, this is funny. Look at this dog. Another car going by. Once again. Boom. He's gone, man. He's gone. Once again. Boom. Hits the ground. Runs back then. Over and over. For weeks this took place. And then I went by a little later, you know, a couple weeks later. And I saw in the ground. Now the flags were gone. But I noticed the ground in the yard. You know what house I'm talking about? Right over there by Lou's place. You know, the ground had a trench in it. That dog had learned if he crossed this invisible realm, bad. Look, he was not made. He knew. He was like, if I go over there, I gotta live over here. This is where I live. I'm not allowed over there. That fence taught me a lesson, Jack. I am not allowed over there. My house is over here. And in the ground, you can see where he just would pace back and forth. He would look at the car. Rawr, rawr, rawr. He would just... Rawr, 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 rawr. He would bark at him. And the ground was just tore up. And I'm like, man, you should have just put a fence in, y'all. That dog tore your yard up. That dog is mad. Let me tell you, this is what time is for us. There's an invisible realm called time. It wants to force you to stay in your yard. There's an invisible force that exists in time that says you are not allowed to cross over. It resists the crossover of life. If you attempt to cross over there, the enemy of your soul will come against you with such violent force. He will attack your finances. He will attack your health. He will attack your children. He's like, look, if you try to cross over from time into eternity, I will light you up, Jack. I will come upon you with such violence that you will learn a lesson. You try it. You try it. You gaze over into eternity and think for one moment that you are a son of God, a daughter of God, entitled to the privileges that were provided for you on a cross. You go ahead and try to cross over, and I will light you up with the volts from hell. You'll hit the porch, think you got something coming to you. Bang! You will hit that invisible realm and hit the dirt. You get to preaching in a prison, telling people they can get free. I will light you up. I will cause a cardiac arrest from hell to come upon you. All to teach you, stay in your place. Don't you think you have the right or the privilege as a son or daughter of God to cross over from this side to that side? That doesn't exist. That's all an illusion. That's a trick of the enemy to tell you, you belong on that side. Stay in your yard. Don't you think, as you gaze over into eternity and think that same power, that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead, you really think it's yours? Go ahead and try to cross over from here to there and see what happens to you. Go ahead and try to give $1,000 to the ministry. Go ahead and try to tithe. I will light up your finances. Go ahead. No, no, no. You stay within your yard. Don't you think you can get out of your yard? You stay over there in your yard. And we knew, and all the congregation said, amen. They were working overtime. Soon as I thought I had some resurrection life dwelling on you, I got a little arrogant and cocky. Thought, man, I got this. I got this. I got this. Bam. Never mind. Never mind. I'm cool. I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing. I'm going to go back to clubbing, carousing, acting a fool. I'm done with that stuff over there, living in it. That's crazy. You guys, that's you guys are crazy. Huh? You're crazy. Who do you think you are? I don't want nothing to do with that. I tried to give my life to Jesus, and all I found was hell. I tried to look over there into eternity and think some of that stuff was mine. I caught hell on the chin. And the enemy of your soul just wants to keep you locked up in your yard the whole time. But remember, what's today? The 30th. Today is the 30th. There were three people that stepped into a 30 moment as you are about to today. Three. Woo, Jesus. There were three people that stepped into a 30 moment. And, woo, my goodness, you're about to see what happens. First one was Joseph. Second one was David. Third one was Jesus. I could sit down now and let you go home and study the rest. There were three people, Joseph, David, and Jesus, who stepped into only three times in the Bible is this moment spoken of. And they have to do it. Joseph, David, and Jesus. That ought to tell you something right there, that there is something significant wrapped up in this day right now, today, the 30th of September. The divine perfection, the release of God into time. So, let's go. I'm just going to skip some of that stuff. Joseph. Remember where Joseph came out of, came into. Joseph represents Egypt. He represents the secular realm. Remember, Joseph got sold into Egypt. And while in Egypt, what happened to Joseph? What happened? He rose to rule the land in a realm that was not the promised land. You following me? Joseph. Now here's what the Bible says about Joseph. Genesis 41, 46. This is Joseph's 30 moment. What's it say? Read it. Joseph was 30. Period. He was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And I don't have time to take you through all of Joseph's rise to the top in a secular realm. But Joseph, in a secular realm, when he walked into his 30 moment, when he walked into 30, the divine perfection and release of God for his life, when he walked into it, there was this incredible favor that rested on his life in the middle of Egypt. I'm not talking about Goshen for all you Bible scholars. This wasn't Goshen. This was Egypt. This was the place where he was, the devil thought he had him. The enemy of his soul thought he had him. He said, I'll make him a prisoner in the prison of Pharaoh, and I'll trap him and lock him up, and I won't allow the promised land to come to him. I'll keep him in Egypt. And for many of us, the enemy is trying to do the same. He's trying to keep you in Egypt. He's trying to segregate eternity from Egypt. I don't want you over there. I'm gonna lock you up over here. I'm gonna keep you trapped over here. But the Bible says when Joseph walked in to a time called 30. When he walked into a time called 30, there was something released into his life. And it was divine favor. I declare it right now over every one of your lives, wherever you're at in the secular realm, whether it be your job, whether it be college, whether it be your school, doesn't matter where it is, anywhere outside that the enemy, any territory of the enemy that he thinks he possesses and owns, the Bible says as you step into this divine moment of God, this release of God, there's going to be such favor on your life that you are going to rise to the top and you're going to rule and reign over the enemy. Your 30 moment. Say it. This is my 30 moment. Right now. Romans 8:19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. Egypt is waiting for you to wake up and walk into your 30 moment. There's people on your job that say, please, oh my God, please just walk into the moment of God that's been released into your life, because I am in bondage. I need to be set free from some stuff in my life, and you're the one that God has ordained to do the setting free. Young people, step in. Step in. High school's in bondage. People shooting people in school. Oh my goodness. With some son or daughter of God, please step into this moment. Please step into it. Please, in the hospital industry, please step into this moment, because the doctors don't got no answers. In the political realm, oh my goodness. In the political realm, would somebody, would some son or daughter of God, please stand up. Please stand up and step into this moment. I am tired. I am sick and tired. I wish, please, Jesus, somebody who's pregnant with a child, please, please raise that child to be the next president of the United States of America. Put inside of that child's heart, put up inside of him the dictates of the kingdom from which they were born. Oh my goodness, please, somebody do it so I can stop listening to these ignorant fools in D.C. Democrats, Republicans, somebody do your homework. Read a history book. I'm tired of it. Can't take it no more. It's nonsense. Don't none of them, listen to me, don't none of them represent you. Christ Jesus, your Savior, is the answer for you. Anytime it takes $33 million to get into a position, you can know for certain that somebody's waxing somebody's pocket. Don't make no sense. All the while, the enemy got us sitting in our backyard fenced up, telling us, you ain't got no business trying to get over there in the presidency. You ain't got no business coming out of your yard. Get back in your yard. Somebody, please step into this moment of divine favor and release in the secular realm like Joseph. Please. And when men of God like Mitch Fallis decide to run for something, could we please support the man of God who is stepping into the divine favor and moment of God for his life? That requires us to read a book or two. You hear me? All the DNC and the RNC. If you're a Democrat, please read a book. Pick up a history book and read it. Please, I beg of thee. I beg you. And I promise you, what you find will startle you. What you find will startle you. Okay. Now tread lightly, Troy. Tread lightly. Tread real light there, Troy. The powers and potentates that be are watching you. You know what my man said? I've been to the mountain. I've seen over the other side. I'm not worried, he said. I'm not worried. They're liars. Two. Man, I got all kinds of messages and no kind of time, but I'm going to just go ahead and preach. I'm going to go ahead and preach, and Valley View will get, when they get me, they'll get me. Number two, David. David represents the kingdom. David represents the kingdom, the church. David, let's read about David. 2 Samuel 5:4 says this. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. Don't got time to go into the 40. Let's deal with the 30. David steps into his 30 moment. Now, remember when David stepped into his moment, what happened? Up until that time, David was being chased by the king with a lowercase k. He was being chased by the kings of this age. He was being chased around, getting spears thrown at him, getting chased in the caves. He was being chased down. But eventually, David stepped into this divine perfection of time, this moment of God's release for his life. And when he did, suddenly the church was strengthened, because David spent his days strengthening the church. I declare in this moment that as we step into this moment, there is this strength. strengthening and unifying of the church of the living God in the earth. No longer segregated or separated from color or political differences. There was a unifying. When David became king, all of Israel gathered to him. All of them came to him. And what did he spend his time doing? David spent his time. Let's go there. Find it. 1 Samuel 17:40 says, then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in the shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. And he never stopped drawing near to the Philistines his entire life. He spent his days. He raised up leaders to fight the enemies of the Lord in his day, to strengthen the kingdom, because he knew that his son, the generation behind him, was coming to the throne. And he said, I must spend my life strengthening the kingdom. I must go and kill every Philistine that I can, so I can set up and establish the kingdom of God for those that are coming behind me. My oldest son sits right there, and what I'm doing in my days, what I'm attempting to do is pick up 5 smooth stones from the brook, and I'm not just going to kill one. Let me tell you, I'm after all of his brothers. I'm after all of his cousins. I don't want my son walking around in this earth looking over his shoulder for some giant that's coming to kill him. It says when Solomon took his throne, when Tristan will take his throne, he will sit on a throne that is strong, that is established. He will sit on a throne and not worry about Goliath or his brothers or his cousins. He will sit on his throne with great confidence. He will see that the promises of God are yes and amen to those who believe. He will see that the kingdom of God is real in the earth. That there is no, he does not have to be restrained by his backyard. He doesn't have to be pushed into his own space. There is an eternity that awaits the release and the divine favor of God, the perfection and the strengthening of the kingdom in the earth. Strengthen the kingdom. This is a moment right now. Right now. This is a 30 moment. We step into revival. That's what it means. Revival. God's not going to bring revival. Revival's here. Revival's here. It's here. It is this far away. Listen. That far away. It's right. It exists. Do you hear me? It exists. Give me something small. Your phone. Woo. iPhone 4S. Woo. Does it exist? You sure? Now you know it exists over here. You know it exists there, right? Yeah, it's there, Troy. I can see it. I can see it. Just like the dog, I can see it. I can see the realm that exists on the other side of that invisible thing there. I see it. Does it still exist? You sure? You can't see it anymore. It's cloudy. It's covered up. It's obscure. Are you sure it still exists? Come on, talk to me. Does revival exist? Is it now? Or can you see it? Can you not see it? Look, it's this far away. It's here. It's here. Here. It exists. Just because you can't, you know, like, you see, it's there. It's right there. It exists. Revival. 30 moment of David. Step into revival. Step into it. Stop waiting for it to show up. Stop waiting. Stop it. Strengthen the kingdom within yourself. Walk into your revival. Stop waiting for some preacher to lay hands on you. Stop waiting for some revivalist to walk into town, stroll into town, and slay anybody in the spirit. Stop waiting for your Finney moment. Stop waiting for Finney to show up. You become Finney. You cross over into eternity and say, God is here. I tell you, he's here now. Last, Jesus. Listen to this. Jesus speaks of the priesthood. Speaks of unlimited revelation and relationship. Whew. Unlimited revelation and relationship. We are getting ready. We are stepping into, in this day, right now, right here, time, into unlimited revelation. Unlimited revelation. Like it's as limited as you make it. It's as stopped up as you make it. It will speak to you such wisdom and such profound mysteries. Oh, just pray right now. God, I pray for the mystery of God to be revealed in me. I pray for the mystery of God to be revealed in me today. Unlimited revelation has been granted to you in this moment. This divine release and perfection of time. In this 30 moment, it says that Jesus in Luke 3:23 says, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years old. 30 years, and Jesus steps into this moment for you and me. Huh? For you and me. He releases unlimited revelation and relationship. I'll close with this. Jesus, on a particular day, this father brings his son to the disciples of Jesus. And he says, my son is possessed by a demon. Throws him often into the fire. The disciples could do nothing. The disciples could do nothing. The church of Jesus could do nothing with this son. Come here. Mm-hmm. So look, they bring him to Jesus' disciples. Give me three disciples. Come on, Ron. Come here. Disciples stand over there. Father, hey, you come over here. You be a disciple. Father and the son. Son's possessed. Got a demon on him. Trying to kill him. Father brings him to the disciples. Bring him to the disciples. Said, look, my son's got a demon. I hear you hang around with one called Jesus. I got the hair. I'll play the part. Yeah. He thought this was all for show. Trying to be like Jesus. Says, I hear you hang around Jesus. And I hear that Jesus does some pretty incredible things. I hear that Jesus actually comes outside of this thing called time over there. And he has this ability to take what exists in this dimension out here, outside of time. And I heard that Jesus had this ability to take what was in heaven and somehow cross over into this dimension called time and bring with him in his pocket all the divine favor of this dimension. And he has this, I just heard that he raised the dead. I heard that he took his fingers and stuck them in some boy's ear and suddenly the person could hear. Now, I don't understand that. But I heard that he could do that. And so they brought him to Jesus' boys. And Jesus' boys, look, they've been watching this show. They know. They're like, yeah, watch them. Licking their fingers, sticking them in his ears, writing on the dirt. You're like, I saw him do this one time. Maybe this works. Saying strange words, my manathana. In the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches. Right? Tried all the tricks. Come here, I'm clowning now. Just bear with me. Tried all the tricks. He said, I'm going to blow on them. Wave on them. I'm going to shout at them. I shout a lot, so I'm just cracking on myself. None of it worked. You hear me? None of that stuff worked. So they just said, I don't know, but take him to see Jesus. So what that father did was, one day, Jesus was just strolling around on this side. Jesus was just hanging out, right? He was just chilling, and the father brings his son to him. Disciples come along too, and they said, look, I brought my son to you fellas. They could do nothing. But I heard that you have this incredible ability to dwell outside of this dimension. This dimension that I'm trapped in is killing my son. I'm trapped in a dimension, in a realm. The enemy is afflicting me in a realm, in time, that I can't overcome. And so then Jesus, the one who dwells between both places, now says, okay, be healed in Jesus' name. And suddenly the boy steps over into the realm of that which did not exist. Amen. Thank you. You hear me? What was the difference? What was the difference between the realms? Difference is this. When asked, they said, the disciples come to Jesus, how come we couldn't do that, Jesus? And listen here, church. You want unlimited revelation? You want unlimited fellowship with Christ? He says, this kind comes out by none other than prayer and fasting. Listen, watch. I'm closing. Give me some musicians. He said, you want this? Here's what it takes. It takes prayer. Enoch walked with God and was not, so God took him. What the interpretation there meant to say was, Enoch dwelt on the other side of the realm of time. He existed more here than he did there. He was over here so much in this realm that God said, oh, my son, you are not even living there anymore. You don't even exist there. Come on home with me. You dwell here more than you dwell there. You are so heavenly minded that you literally are no earthly good. Come on home. And so God took him. And Jesus says, you want this power. You want this anointing. Then what it takes is prayer. What it takes is, see, you got to begin to pick up these things right here. You just got to pick them up. You got to pick them up. Pick them up. Just pick them up. Throw them away. And you've got to dwell in this most holy place of prayer. There must be this fellowship between you and the risen Savior, the one who walks on water, the one who writes on the dirt. And suddenly this woman steps up and says, I'm free. I'm free. You want that? He said, you want that, do you? You want that kind of power, do you? Well, then it only exists in lives who are committed to prayer. You've got to spend more time on this side than you do over there. Now, don't make that religious. Don't make that 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 4 hours, 5 hours a day on your knees. Make that unbroken fellowship with your Savior 24 hours a day. I just walk with Him and I talk with Him and He tells me I'm His own. There is this unbroken fellowship that Christ is looking for. And He said, I give you all of the power of this dimension if you'll just come and walk with me and talk with me. I'll tell you, you are my own. I will walk with you in the dew of the morning. I will walk with you in the lateness of the night. I will just walk with you and I will give you the mysteries of the kingdom. And then he says this. He says, look, you got to fast. What is fasting? We talk about this a lot. Play away. We talk about this a lot. Fasting. Fasting. Fasting is not eating vegetables. Fasting. Fasting is a separation from the backyard. Fasting Fasting is a removal from the backyard. When you say, I'm committing to a fast, what you're saying is, I'm going to depend more on this than I am on that. I'm going to eat the bread from this dimension and not the bread from that dimension. That's what fasting is. I'm going to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh. I'm going to commit my life to be dependent upon the Spirit of the Most High God and not upon the things or the realm of this world. And suddenly what you begin to see is there is this knocking down of a dimension that separates you from eternity. And now you, like the dog with the collar around his neck, you have unlimited revelation. You have unlimited fellowship. You can come in and out. You can come in and you can come out. In, out, in, out. There's nothing that stops you. You can come in and out whenever you want. Give God glory. Come on. In and out, in and out, in and out. So when the children of this world come to you, when the children of this world come to you, yes, I need answers. I need answers. My son's sick. My sister's sick. My brother's sick. Doctors ain't got no answers. That dimension ain't got no answers. Oh, you can just show up. Here I am. I got Christ in me. The hope of glory. Be set free. Woo. Now, I remember distinctly when I was a senior or a junior in high school, we had this tradition. It was this tradition we had. And you see, all of us juniors had to sit back here. And we sat back here. Juniors, we sat back here. And all of the seniors, they sat up there. But there was this day, we'll call it the 30th of September. There was this day when the seniors, they would move on. The apostles had moved on, church. Huh? The fathers of faith have moved on. They've graduated. They've moved into apostleship. And now they sit in the realm of eternity, applauding you, cheering you on. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on, church. And the juniors, they're saying to the disciples, the church of its day, it's time. And here's what we would do on that day. I remember it. On that day, we who had to sit back, it wasn't our moment, but we wanted that moment to come. And suddenly, in that moment, it was time to move forward. And there was no restraint in that moment. There was just reckless desire to step into the moment of your seniorhood. And we jumped over the chairs. We jumped over the chairs and we ran and we took our position. We took our position, and I hear the king saying, step into your position. Step into your 30 moments. Step into it today with no restraint, with reckless abandon. Walk into 30. Walk into the divine perfection and the release of your Savior today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, I've been restrained. Troy, I've been restrained. I've been living held captive by the enemy in the backyard. He's put the shackles on me. I've been held back, but I sense a release in this moment into my life. I sense the divine release and perfection of Christ in this moment. I've been not walking with him. I've not even known him, you say. Walk. Step into your moment, child of God. Step into this moment right here, right now. It's yours. God has established it from the foundation of the world. This minute, right now. Secular favor. Strengthening of the church and revival. Unlimited revelation. And unlimited fellowship with your King. This is your moment. If you want to embrace that moment, I just want you to take your head and your hands and lift them high to the Lord right now. All over this sanctuary, just lift them high to the Lord right now. Say, Jesus, I step into my 30 moment. Right now, I walk into the perfected release of God's divine favor, of the revival, and I walk into revival. I walk into revelation. I walk into fellowship that's unbroken because you tore the veil over my life. I have now access in and out, in and out. So when the questions of the earth come to me and they press upon me, I can take the answers from heaven to the earth, because I dwell there with you. I live there with you. My life is hidden with you, Jesus, in the heavenly realm. I bless your name today, Jesus. I pray for every hand raised that God, you would pour out your divine perfection and release in this day, September 30th. May it be marked on the calendar forever to change the lives of the church, the living bride of Christ in the earth right now, the force of righteousness fighting back hell. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.